We're talking with Zealand Congressman Bill Huizinga. A pretty busy time right now on Capitol Hill, and so let's get to some of the news of the day as we converse on Thursday morning. A deal on student loan interest rates is coming from a bipartisan group of U.S. senators hammering out agreement late Wednesday night to offer college students better rates on loans this fall, but those rates would increase in the future. Now, a rate hike took effect on July 1st, and Bill, you and other House members agreed on a student loan bill that would fix the loan rates or tie it in with the current market rates, but the Senate didn't really necessarily see eye to eye on that. If you know anything about the details or anything about this Senate deal, are you encouraged that this agreement can eventually come to pass and a student loan rate that will not be so exorbitant as it is right now can be agreed upon?
Well, as you had pointed out, I mean, the House had passed a solution back in May, and when Senate decided to pass on it and couldn't come up with a solution, that's what caused the problem. And the House bill originally looks like what the president had requested in his budget. So I'm encouraged by the little bit that we're seeing coming out of the Senate. Hopefully this is going to mirror what the president and what the House have said ought to happen, which is we tie those student loan rates with a cap. We tie them into those 10-year Treasury bills, and it's going to keep education reasonable for students. But we need to make sure that parents and students are taking a good hard look at what those education dollars are going into and what they're getting for that. So that there's still another piece of this that people have to be engaged with.
Yeah, as you mentioned, it's almost as if this is a symptom, but the problem still has to be dealt with.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have to have a discussion about the pretty massive increase in education costs and things like that, and the debt that kids are coming out of college with right now is just a massive. And everybody has to take, I think, a good hard look at what they are getting for that, and how we can sort of wrestle that to the ground as well. We've got to look at both sides.
Yeah, the academic community was saying, well, we need to continue to have the best and brightest at our schools. We need to continue our research and development. That's not going to come cheap. Blah, blah, blah. I hate to use the term blah, 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 but it just seems as if any increase is justifiable in the eyes of academia, and they don't see the practical reality of life in 2013 that you just can't automatically pass every increase on to the students and you can expect them to foot the bill when, you know, basically you're pricing people out of college.
Well, I mean, that's a great phrase. People are getting priced out of college, and the debt that they're coming out of college with is really holding them back. It's harnessing them with a tremendous burden, and, you know, We know that these things have to continue to improve. We know that education has to continue to improve. If you look back at what costs have done over the last few decades, they have outpaced inflation dramatically. They've outpaced any of those economic indicators of where costs should be. So that has to be part of the equation. But you know, this interest rate part is significant, and I get it. I've got a niece who's going into college this fall and is directly impacted by that, and I know that uncertainty that's hanging out there is very problematic for the students and for parents.
One final thing about this subject before we move on, Bill Huizinga. Do you get a sense that you've gone through this before in the sense of dealing with higher education costs during your 6 years in the state legislature? Is almost as if we dealt with this before, tried to deal with this before in Michigan. Now we've got to deal with it on a national level.
I have a lot of feelings of that similar type. You know, dealt with it in Lansing, dealing with it in Washington. But, you know, a huge amount of the state budget is education, both K through 12 and higher ed. And that was an ongoing conversation that we would have with the state universities is costs and the increases that they were getting and what was getting passed along to the students or not getting passed along to the students. So it has to be coordinated both at the state level and the federal level to have that kind of conversation.
We're talking with Zeeland Congressman Bill Huizinga. Republicans, you're, of course, one of them in the House, taking another run at the health care reform law, voting yesterday to oppose one-year delays on both the employer and individual mandates in the health care reform law. And your colleague from Howell, Mike Rogers, reintroduced the Health Care Waiver Fairness Act. You are a co-sponsor of that. Would expand the waiver process in the new health care law to all Americans and employers. The proof is in the pudding. We've talked about that phrase in other aspects, but we're seeing that now with the Affordable Care Act. The proof is in the pudding, and that pudding is kind of sour right now.
Well, look, a lot of us had warned that this was not ready for prime time. There was no way that they were going to be able to hit the time frames that they set out. There was no way that we were going to be able to have the rules put in place. And the costs, none of those things have come to bear as the administration had hoped. And frankly, on this particular specific thing that we did yesterday, we gave the president his wish and delayed the employer mandate by 1 year. And these are corporations 50 and over that that would be required to provide the health care, but. In my mind, that's not good enough. If we've got individuals that are still going to be required to do this, why would we help out corporations but not help out individuals and small business owners and self-employed people? So we passed the bill that that would also take that same one-year delay that that the president had, I would argue, not legally put forward. He is required to follow the law. He can't just decide which laws he is going to pass or which laws he's going to adhere to and what he's not going to adhere to. But we're going to take that that concept for corporations and put it into individuals. In the corporate side, we had 35 of my colleagues across the aisle join us. And then on the individual mandate, we had 22, including Gary Peters from Michigan, who's running for Senate. So this is actually a bipartisan thing that that I think is good for America as we're trying to figure out what those next steps are with the Affordable Care Act.
Do you get a sense, perhaps, Bill, that I hate to say you use cliches, and it's easy to do, closing the door after the horse, barn door after the horse got out, but many of these companies already have started to make plans for these new rules to come into place at the beginning of the year. Now it's going to be pushed back a year because not everybody can conform. It's almost as if you're penalizing some of these companies that did make some of the tough decisions already.
Well, even those companies that were starting to head down that path have come to us and said, we don't think we can get it done. That includes the healthcare providers and the insurers that are required to have these packages put together. You look at what Michigan has done with the healthcare exchanges and that kind of thing. There's 35 states that have been dealing with this with the exchanges. They're not ready. They've said that they're not ready. Michigan is one of those. So there's a lot of consensus. Even as people have been trying to put this together, it's been like trying to build the 747 as it's rolling down the runway. And virtually everybody, including the Obama administration, has come to the conclusion it can't be done properly. So, they wanted to delay it just for the corporations. We said let's delay it not only for the corporations but for individuals as well.
We're talking with Zeeland Congressman Bill Huizinga. The third and final topic on board today, the House having a discussion, the committee, the Financial Services Committee that you are a member of, having Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke testify before it yesterday. Watching some of it, Bill, it's almost as if it was part tough questions and part thank you very much, Mr. Bernanke, for your service to our country. It's almost as if it was a passing of the torch for Mr. Bernanke. Before we talk about what he said in the meat potatoes, did you get a sense that perhaps he was talking to your committee for the last time as the Fed chairman?
Well, the tea leaves that surround the Federal Reserve are read by everybody. It's trying to, whether it's the administration or whether what the Fed is doing directly. So it looks like that President Obama does not want to appoint Mr. Bernanke again. That's his prerogative to do that. You can clearly see that this has been a tough number of years on him. And that was one of the things that I said to him in my opening statement, I said, no one doubts his desire to help the country. And he certainly was in the middle of some of the toughest decisions that have ever been made. I think there were some mistakes in that. I think some of that circumstances, as well as who he was having to deal with and the things that he was having to deal with. But we'll see what the president's going to do on his reappointment.
As for what he said, saying that the Fed is flexible on the bond buying stimulus program, said the future would depend on economic developments, not on a preset course. Wall Street certainly pleased about that. But did you get a sense that perhaps he's saying between the lines, we're going to stay the course, even though we might have some doubts about it?
And that was interesting, seeing some of the analysis that was coming out literally as he was coming into the committee to start this. His remarks had been released, and people were trying to look at that, and there was a lot of speculation that he was sort of easing back away from some slightly tougher statements that he had had about trying to back away from this bond quantitative easing philosophy. And the problem that I had, and I tried to convey to him in my questions and in my statement, was I want to make sure that we're taking care of Main Street, not Wall Street. And there's no doubt that Wall Street has benefited from this. They have had record profits. All you got to look at what happened to Goldman Sachs and a few of these other places. Not all of that has translated into Main Street as well, and that's a problem for me. I want to make sure that we're doing the right things that aren't just going to help folks in New York, but are going to help the folks back here in West Michigan. So that's my main thrust, my main concern, and I'm afraid these guys in New York, who oftentimes don't care what carcass they're feeding on, they just need a carcass of some sort. They've got to make sure that they aren't making money off the backs of these decisions, and sort of throwing markets into ups and downs just based on what the Fed is doing. We got to make sure that we have long-term, solid business decisions that are being made.
It's almost as if Wall Street and the Beltway have that in common. Once people get in there and stay in there, they have a disconnect with the rest of the country they just don't see things that we do here in West Michigan. You come home every weekend. It's a different mindset now, isn't it?
No, it is. And frankly, once you give them a taste of it, where it's an easing of the burden that they have, sure, they like it. Now, the problem is that it's not sustainable. It's supposed to be temporary. And we've got to start moving away from that, and we've got to start moving away from that fairly aggressively. The problem is that we are still in a world economy that is going to be influenced and affected by what's going to be happening in the Chinese economy. We're going to be seeing what is happening in Europe directly affect what's going to be happening in our economy. So we've got to be smart about it, but it's time that we start making some different decisions.
Zealand Congressman Bill Huizinga, as always, we appreciate your thoughts about some of the issues of the day. Wish you and your family well this coming week, and we'll talk to you next Thursday.
Hey, thanks, Gary. You too.